Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be a hospital chaplain? Let's go in-depth with Chaplain Jessica Margrave Schrim with the Pella Regional Health Center. So, Chaplain, when I think about your job, you comfort the ill, right?
That is, yes, a good way to summarize what I do. Mm-hmm.
So what a noble calling that is.
I guess you could look at it that way, for sure. When I first began this journey into healthcare ministry, it really was not for noble purposes, I would say, and more so because I just couldn't imagine doing anything else. It was a call I'd felt on my life since I was a young woman, and having had the experience to journey with folks when they were going through difficult health care experiences, the loss of a loved one or their own personal health care needs, it really felt like that was exactly who I was created to be. So it's an honor for me each and every day. I certainly don't view myself as noble, more lucky to be able to do this with my life.
Well, it has to be challenging. I mean, every day is going to be different. There are different concerns, different illnesses, different family makeup. It must be sometimes difficult to navigate.
Absolutely. That is a great summary of what it's like in the hospital and in hospice. Every day is different. Families are different. Our spiritual needs are different. The way folks approach illness or death and dying or even wonderful things that come with healthcare. A new baby or a new lease on life from having a knee replaced or a disease well managed. Everyone is different. And that's part of what I enjoy the most about this opportunity is that I never know from day to day what I'm going to encounter, how the spirit will move, what's going to happen behind that door. And more often than not, I walk away from times with patients feeling unbelievably thankful that I got to be a part of this moment in their lives. But that's what keeps it interesting. I have had other vocational opportunities where it was the same thing day in and day out, and that was not for me. It's the variety that really keeps me here and keeps me on my toes. It's a chance for me to constantly learn and study, to think about the ways that I might be able to minister to folks in difficult situations. And it's definitely meaningful at the end of every day, for sure.
And so what do you do? Just wander the halls and poke your nose in the different rooms? Or does somebody come and say, hey, so-and-so needs you? How does it work?
All of the above. So the way that it works is when folks are admitted to the hospital, so when they know for whatever reason, if they come in through the emergency room or if their doctor recommends that they be admitted, when they are admitted, the nurse completes an assessment. And one of the questions that they ask is, would you like a chaplain visit? And so at the start of every day, I'm able to come in and see who are the folks that would like a chaplain visit. And so I prioritize spending time with them. I also then go through the census of the hospital, and I do a little research. I look at what's going on. Why are folks here? Is there a new diagnosis? Was there a complication with a delivery? Was there some unexpected news? And I prioritize those folks next, folks who maybe hadn't really thought that a chaplain visit might be beneficial, but having some time to think and talk through what's going on with them spiritually is a good fit. And then, of course, there are other times when I get a call or a referral, particularly on weekends or nights if something comes in through the emergency department that is particularly traumatic, or if someone is having a difficult time dealing with a diagnosis or what's going on with them. The staff here is wonderful and will happily give me a call and say, you know what, I think this person really could benefit from a chaplain visit. So on any given day, that's how things shake out. So it's a little bit of both, everything you mentioned.
So do you ever get a call in the middle of the night?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. I am here at the hospital Monday through Friday, 40 hours a week, but on call 24/7. So between myself and there's also a part-time chaplain, Chaplain Mike Yarsma, between the two of us, we negotiate calls on nights and weekends. So we want folks to know that we're available anytime they need us. So day or night, weekends, middle of the night, we're happy to be here if we're able.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about what it's like to be a chaplain with Jessica Margrave Schrim. Well, given the complexity of, you know, of the human mind and our personalities and different faiths and the illness or the injury or whatever, it would seem that this would be sort of a delicate ground you're walking. Is that right?
Absolutely. One of the things that I think makes hospital ministry, chaplaincy, particularly unique and different from ministry that happens in a church or a more structured denominational setting is that when I walk into a patient's room, it matters very little what I think or what I believe, and more so what I bring into that room is an openness to whatever the patient thinks or believes. My job as a chaplain is to support them with whatever is spiritually meaningful to them, to help them cling to their own faith in a way that's going to encourage them through whatever they're experiencing. So part of training to become a chaplain is to do lots of study and research into different religions, different denominations, and learning to minister to folks who may not even be able to name their own faith or religion. We all have spiritual needs, and so a real skill and dynamic to this is learning how to be with folks from all different spiritual backgrounds and dynamics. Most days I feel like I learn something new every day, and it's a real blessing to be in an environment where every single person who comes into this facility is treated with compassion and love, no matter who they are or what their own faith tradition is. I've really enjoyed being in a place where that's encouraged and supported.
I'd be afraid I'd wander in and say something wrong that was upsetting or something. I mean, do you ever worry about that?
A little bit, but the real gift is that I say very little. Most of what I do is I listen. So my role as a chaplain is to walk in and to say just enough to open up those channels to encourage someone to start sharing what's going on with them. I don't attempt to tell people what to think or to believe, but more than that, I ask them to tell me how they're feeling, what's going through their mind, what are their sources of support and strength. And then with that information, I either know what to say or I know what not to say. It really is a ministry of listening, and that's what I spend most of my time doing, which sometimes is hard because I'm a fairly chatty person. but the real art is learning when to be quiet and just to let folks say what they need to say. A wonderful example that a mentor of mine gave is that the role of a chaplain is to somehow hold space for that. If you imagine reaching out open hands or holding an empty vase or bowl, and creating a space for that person to say whatever they need to say, to put whatever feelings out there, and to do so in a way that they don't feel judged, that they don't feel like they have to say the right or wrong thing, but instead they can just be honest with who they are and where they are, and then to figure out a way to help meet whatever spiritual needs they may have. So for some folks, they do want me to pray with them, or to read scripture to them, or to provide communion. Those are things that are meaningful for them. For other folks, they just want somebody to be there who's going to be quiet and hold their hand and not make them feel like they have to think or believe anything specific, but just that it's okay to be who they are right where they are in this moment.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about what it's like to be a chaplain with Jessica Margrave Schrim. Do you ever hear things that you wish you hadn't heard or seen things that you wish you didn't see?
Absolutely. You know, part of being in healthcare ministry is that we often see folks when they're at their most vulnerable. And it's hard. It's hard to see the ways that sometimes our bodies fail us as a result of some of our own poor choices or as a result of the fact that sometimes life just happens. And so there are always times when it's good for me to step back and process some of the difficult things that I see. I think anybody who works in healthcare would say, you know, we're probably a little more attentive to every cough or sniffle that our children have, those types of things that create a certain level of anxiety in us. As far as things that I wish I didn't hear, I often hear from folks the way that their faith has hurt them. Perhaps some well-meaning person has attempted to encourage them, and instead it's had the opposite effect. And so they wonder why they can't have more faith in this moment, or is God punishing them for something that they've done, and that's why they're ill, or why this calamity has struck. And that's always hard for me to hear the ways that folks perhaps have been made to feel worse because of their faith rather than encouraged, or rather than their faith being a support or a comfort for them. The underlying motivation of my whole ministerial identity is that God is love, and that we are called to love others in the same way that we love ourselves. And so any chance that I have to let someone know that they are loved, beloved by many folks and beloved by God, that's something that I feel called to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have sort of a set routine that you go through in your mind when you walk into a room?
Yes and no. I try very hard not to go into rooms with agendas because then the visit becomes more about me than about the person in the room. I do quite a bit of research. So I spend time reading notes from the physicians or from the emergency department to get a picture of what's going on with a patient. Being able to meet them where they are rather than inviting them to kind of rehash all of that again and again for each person that comes in the room helps us get on even ground a little more quickly. So I like to know what's going on with them physically when I walk into a room. I know other chaplains who don't do that. They like to go in and just let the patient say in their own words what's happening. But for me, I like that little bit of knowledge. And so typically I introduce myself. I let them know who I am. I let them know that I've been thinking about them and praying for them, and I ask if it's a good time for a visit. And if it is, then I just ask them to tell me a little bit about what's been going on. And that's the extent of my agenda with folks. The door then is open for them to share whatever they need to share, and I go wherever they need to go during that visit. So.
And of course, some people can't communicate very effectively, mm-hmm. and you still work with them.
Absolutely. So it's a fine line for me. If someone is not able to verbally communicate, if for whatever reason, what I provide for them is pastoral presence. So the ability just to be present, sometimes holding their hand, sometimes just sitting at the bedside. I try very hard not to project my own faith on them. So if I know from their notes that they are a person of faith, I will pray for them out loud in the room. If I don't know that, I will just pray within my own heart and mind for them. I'm very cautious not to force faith on anybody for whom that isn't a meaningful opportunity. But, you know, a lot of times folks just want somebody who's going to be with them. I think we underestimate the gift of presence for people. Someone who will just sit and hold your hand and let you be. And that's when I'm able to do that for folks. That's a real gift of this profession.
What's it like when you hold somebody's hand and that you see that you are bringing comfort to them? What's that feeling like?
I feel honored. It it really is amazing how holy that space becomes when we allow ourselves to see that. And I find myself thinking what a gift it is to be in this place with this person. Especially folks that whom I don't know, who I may never see again, to be a part of that moment in their life when things are difficult. They may never remember my name, but my hope is that they will remember that someone was there, and not at all that I imagine that I am the presence of God or Christ for folks, but if I ever can be that for someone, it truly is an honor. The amount of times that I walk out of a patient's room and I marvel at how it never ceases to catch me off guard when the Holy shows up in those places. Even though that's what I do day in and day out, when I am able to be aware of that holy space with folks, it's a real gift. It's a real gift.
Thanks to Chaplain Jessica Margrave Schrim for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.